Любезні браті,
our eternal, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we abound with thanksgiving unto Thee for all the good things, Lord, that Thou dost do for us, including this opportunity, an opportunity to be in Thine house, to have Thy word before us, to be together as a body of believers, and knowing that we have raised up our petitions unto Thee and that Thou hast heard our prayers in times past, and we know that Thou art faithful and will hear our prayers again as we come before Thee. We beseech Thee, kind Heavenly Father, be Thou with us. Bless us. May Thy Spirit's presence be felt. May we be attentive to what Thy Word would have to say. And may we, by Thy grace, Lord, be looking for opportunities to apply that which we have heard in this day. Lord, these things and many more we do bring unto Thee in prayer through the name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6.
Brati naša, da se čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Galatima 6. glava. Galatima 6. glava.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them in mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer. The Word of God speaks of sanctification and obedience, and these are messages that we have heard in our church here a couple times more recently, and we are thankful for that message, the messages of sanctification and obedience unto God's Word. And then building off that, this morning, I'd like to focus on glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ. How that all goes together, this sanctification being set apart for God's uses, and then being obedient to the Word of God, and then from that we would glorify and glory in the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives, and that would be real to us and made manifest. But before we get into the scripture, some thoughts that I had as we were praying together, and Brother Robert mentioned that we have been placed in such a time as this that our faith would be recognized. The apostles were placed in their time to do their work and exercise their faith in their time, and perhaps in the Middle Ages, there were believers at that time that were placed in that place at that time to exercise their faith and be a light and a witness to the people then. And we likewise, in our time, have been placed in this place and in this time that we might exercise our faith, that we might be a light unto this world, and that we would glorify our Heavenly Father. And so let's be faithful to that where we have been called to. And so there are going to be many things that are said that we're not going to be able to retain them all. And we won't be able to remember everything that's been said. But may the Lord impress upon our hearts this throughout this day that there might be a message, there might be some golden nugget that we might be able to take with us and that we might remember and use it to His honor and to His glory. So may the Lord speak to you this day in what He would have for you to place in your heart as you go about being a witness and exercising your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This book speaks of Jews who became Christians and then were reverting back to the law and finding comfort in that law that Moses had given, that ceremonial law, and they were reverting back to that. And the Apostle Paul had to write a pretty stern letter to them saying that we can't be made just or made righteous by the law. That law, that righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ and in living for Him and exercising that fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so as we go through this scripture, this last chapter of Galatians, I'd like to start with the end of the chapter and work our way back towards the beginning of the chapter. Here he's ending the chapter by saying that peace and mercy and grace from the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And this is such a great blessing. It's something we treasure and hold dear in our lives, that the peace of God, His grace, and His mercy, that it would be alive in us, and that we would be experiencing these things day by day, moment by moment in our lives, that we might feel that peace and that mercy and that grace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so valuable and so necessary in our lives. But it requires that we walk according to sanctification, that we would be obedient unto His word, that we would embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. And so before this, he's saying, for in Christ Jesus, circumcision avails nothing and uncircumcision avails nothing. There's nothing of value in Christ Jesus of circumcision or uncircumcision. But what's of value, what avails, what's important in Christ Jesus is a new creature. A new creature, that sanctification. And that sanctification happens by embracing the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we walk in newness of life. That old man has been done away with. And so we are reminded in Scripture over and over in the next book in Ephesians and other places as well, is to put off the old man. Put that off and put on the new man. A new man. That we would plow under those things which were no good in our heart's acre, but that we would plant that which is good and right in God's sight. That we would plow under the thorns and the thistles of our previous life and plant and sow good seed in our lives. This is what the Bible is saying here, that we would be regenerated, that we would be a new creature, that the oldness of life would be gone. That would be something that's dead, no longer alive. This is the new creature that we are to walk in. New ways. And walking in a way that would be well-pleasing to the Lord. And so he's saying here, previous to this, about walking, about being a new creature, he's saying, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world was crucified unto the Apostle Paul, and he unto the world. And he was now glorying. This was his glory. This is what he rejoiced in was in the cross of Jesus Christ. What is the cross of Jesus Christ? What does that mean in our lives? What does that mean at its fundamental level? It means being dead to Christ, dead to this world, dead with him, but then alive unto Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks much of this, and I'd like to go through some verses that speak to this cross of Christ and how important it is in our lives. That we would always bear about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is here, he's speaking of in our bodies, that we would bear about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. That in our bodies, in our lives, in our presentation of ourselves, that the life of Jesus Christ might be made manifest. That it might be revealed, that it might be shown, that Jesus Christ is alive in me. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? Why are we delivered unto death? So that the life of Jesus also might be made manifest. Where? In our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus Christ being manifest in our mortal flesh. This is very important. That Jesus Christ is alive in us. And the cross of Christ does that for us. That we would die to self and live anew unto Jesus Christ. There are those who didn't. And the Apostle Paul spoke of those who didn't. Who didn't want that cross of Christ. He says here to the Philippians, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." He's so sad about this. I've told you about this often, and I'm telling you again, and I'm weeping because of this, that there are many who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They are enemies to the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. There's no other way than those who are enemies of the cross of Christ than their end to be destruction. There's no other end. To those who would be the enemies of the cross of Christ. It's just destruction. Their God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. They don't glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul is saying that he does, and that we ought to as believers, that we would glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. But they were glorying in their shame, in their shameful, despicable ways of evil. They glory in that shame, and they mind earthly things. But we are new. We are new creatures. And we embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we are able to die to our old ways and to rise anew and have Jesus Christ presented in our mortal bodies and be made manifest in our mortal bodies to be shown. We rejoice in this. We rejoice in this that we are no longer dead, that we no longer have condemnation hanging over our heads. Because of our iniquities, because of our sins. But we have been redeemed. We have been brought out of that death and into his life. And he now lives in us and he is made manifest in our lives. And so we rejoice and glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. The world is crucified unto us and we unto the world. We don't mind earthly things. We don't mind these things that are spoken of in the previous chapter, Galatians chapter 5, where the works of the flesh are manifest. And they're all these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and the list goes on and on and on. And then it says that, and such things, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we still mind earthly things, if we still glory in the things which are shameful, the cross of Christ is not alive in us. Jesus Christ is not alive in us. Grace, mercy, and peace are not alive in us. In this same book, the Apostle Paul writes, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The Jesus Christ was alive in the Apostle Paul. And likewise for us, we die daily, but we are alive unto Jesus Christ. And we walk in his ways, in a way that is well-pleasing unto him. And so, if we are dead with Christ, the Bible says, and from the rudiments of this world, meaning the teachings and the doctrines and the things of this world, the essentials of this world, why, as though living in this world, are ye subject unto ordinances? I mean, why would, if we're alive unto Christ, if we've been crucified with Christ and are alive unto him, why would we go back to the rudiments of this world? Why would we go back to sin? What's of value there? Don't be subject unto those ordinances. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. And so we are not to go back to the things of this world. The Bible speaks of a dog returning unto its vomit and to a clean pig who goes back into wallowing in the mud. We don't go back to those things, but we walk in newness of life. The world is dead unto us, and we are alive unto Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is made manifest in our flesh, in our bodies, in the way we walk according to our faith, and being a witness to those round about us. Moving backwards up the chapter, he says, as many as desire to make a fair show of the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. These Jews were wanting the new converts into this way of Christ to be circumcised. And they were paying emphasis on the circumcision, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They would rather embrace circumcision than the cross of Christ, these Jews, who were reverting back to the law. They thought that, well, if I do that ceremonial law and practice circumcision, that I'm okay. And they knew that if they did that, that there would be no ramifications to them. All those around about them in Galatia, they wouldn't persecute a Jew for being circumcised. That's their culture. That's what they do. But if you embrace the cross of Jesus Christ, then there would be persecution. And the Apostle Paul is saying that as if you embrace the cross of Jesus Christ, you will suffer persecution. You will suffer persecution. And there will be a price to pay for that. And so the Jews would rather embrace circumcision and not have to suffer persecution by embracing the cross of Jesus Christ, of dying to ourselves and walking in this newness of life. Jesus Christ suffered, and we as his followers will also suffer. And so he says to us, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed are you when that happens to you. We are in a blessed state. We are in that joyful state. We have peace. We have mercy. We have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When men revile us, and when they cast our name out as evil, and they separate us from their company. Naturally, as a man, we don't want that. We want to be included. We want to be appreciated. We want to be looked upon with favor. But Jesus said, rejoice. And blessed are you when people do that to you for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that. And so the apostles did. They experienced that very soon after. When they were speaking about Jesus Christ, the Jews came to them and beat them and said, speak no longer in this name of Jesus Christ. And when they were beaten and they were threatened not to speak at all anymore in the name of Jesus Christ, they rejoiced. Just as Jesus Christ told them to rejoice. They rejoiced. Why? Because they were worthy to be counted to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. They were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And they rejoiced in that. And they kept on preaching Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, these Jews would rather embrace circumcision because that's the easier path and not the cross of Jesus Christ. Not the cross of Jesus Christ. And so for us, as we live out our lives and we express our faith And let that faith be known to those round about us, that there will be some refining in our lives. There will be some persecution that creates that refining. And that suffering will purge out those things in our lives that are not necessary, that actually inhibit or hinder our spiritual walk of life as we embrace the Lord, as we embrace his ways, as we embrace that cross of Jesus Christ, and knowing that in that cross of Jesus Christ, we are dead to ourselves. We are dead to the things of this world. We are dead to adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and then also dead to hatred, wrath, strife, envyings, drunkenness, revelings. We're dead to all those things. And now we walk in newness of life, and the life of Jesus Christ is made manifest in our flesh. And so it's good for us that we suffer for his namesake, that we might be purged, that we might be reoriented properly, that we might be made to glorify the Lord and look to him. When the world suffers, it repels them away from God. They don't want to suffer for God. It repels them away from God. If I have to suffer, then the Jews did it. If I have to suffer, then I don't want God in my life. I'd rather just embrace circumcision and I'm okay, rather than embracing the suffering that comes with living out Jesus Christ in our lives. But for the believer, the suffering draws us to God. Because for the believer, we know that our source of strength, the source of truth, the source of right, the source of mercy, the source of grace is all from him. And so when we have to suffer, we draw nearer to the Lord. And we love him for all the things that he has done for us. The Apostle Peter says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." This is what God has called us to. His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. "After that ye have suffered," so the suffering happens, and when that suffering is over for a while, that we might have to endure that suffering, "make you," this is God who has all this grace, he's making us to be perfect, establish, he establishes us, he strengthens us, and he settles us. We have a settling when we suffer for the Lord, when we embrace the cross of Jesus Christ, when we are willing to say, "I'm dead to the things of this world. I don't need the things of this world. I'm not subject to their ordinances. I'm not subject to the ways of this world. What they do is their thing. They have condemnation. I have life. I have eternal life abiding in me. I have his peace. I have his mercy. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ." And so we're settled. We're strengthened. We're established. We're perfected. We're made right with the Lord. And so we rejoice in this, of what he has called us to. Backing up further in this chapter, verses 7 through 10, speak of living a life that's yielded to the Lord. And so he says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's so much deception in this world, and somehow we think that, well, I can still walk a little bit in this world. I don't have to be completely dead to this world. I can still embrace some of the practices and the rudiments and the ordinances of this world, and yet walk with the Lord. And that cannot be. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. God will never be mocked. God knows our hearts. You know, I often think that we can hide things from our parents, but God is not mocked. God sees it. We can hide things from the leadership of the church, but God is not mocked. We will give an account for these things. "Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." There's no other way than that if we sow to the flesh, there will be corruption. There will be a destruction that comes with that, sowing to the flesh. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If we are dead to this world and alive unto Jesus Christ, and he's made manifest in our lives, and the fruit of the Spirit is being manifest in us as well, as we read here in the previous chapter, in Galatians chapter 5, of the fruit of the Spirit. If you haven't memorized the fruit of the Spirit, I strongly suggest that you memorize the fruit of the Spirit. It's the way we walk. It's the way we do life. It's what's made manifest in our lives. And we're searching for that, and we're striving for that day by day. And as situations come in our lives, we're exercising the fruit of the Spirit because Jesus is alive in us. And so we want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance continuously displayed from our lives. And that's what we're sowing. And we're sowing to the Spirit, and of that Spirit, we will reap life everlasting. When something of the rudiments and the ordinances and the things that this world just so much puts value on, when that presents itself to us, it means nothing to us because we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. And those things lost their attraction to us because we're dead to them. We're dead to them. We are a new creature. A new creature. And the world is crucified unto us and us unto the world. We are dead to the world and the world is dead unto us. The world doesn't have need or use for those who value the things of Jesus Christ and who place great value on the cross of Jesus Christ. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep going. That's what this verse is saying. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't be weary. Don't faint. Don't give up. But keep doing well before the Lord. And we shall reap. We shall reap that everlasting if we don't give up, if we faint not. And so there's a verse that speaks both to the sanctification in our lives, as well as doing this good and persevering in the Lord. The older generation always wants to encourage the younger generation: persevere, don't give up, don't give up, don't turn your back to the Lord. And so we are also being encouraged through the Scripture this day, in that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is speaking to us, that we are to endure hardness. It's not easy. It's not easy, but God has strength, but God has grace, and he gives us his peace and his strength and his mercy. And so we are to endure hardness. It's easy to move along as things go good, having that flow of least resistance. That's easy to do, but he's saying endure hardness. Hardness, those things which are hard, endure it and keep pressing on as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Again, that's sanctification. The world is dead unto us and us unto the world, because we have a desire to please him who has chosen us to be a soldier. A soldier of his, to do what he would have us to do, and to please him well, and to persevere, and not faint, and not give up, but embrace the cross of Jesus Christ, and glory in it, that he would be magnified, and that he would be glorified. And so, again, he's encouraging us. So, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have so many opportunities out there, and Brother Robert mentioned that in his prayer, that there are so many things that are wrong and that just need righted. And where we can make a difference, where we have an opportunity, let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. Let's endure hardness. Let's embrace it. Let's take these opportunities and make a difference. Take that which the evil one has destroyed and make it good. Make it right where we have opportunity. And where we are able to do so. And again, the Lord has given unto us, as he placed us here in this time, at this moment, that he's given unto us a lot of resources and a lot of gifts and a lot of ability to do good. And we are to do it unto all men. All men. To those who see things differently than we are. It's a blessed opportunity to be the light of Jesus Christ and to make Jesus Christ manifest in our flesh. To do good and unto all. To those who are taking society and just taking it into low, low points. We can do good to them. And the Bible tells us to do good unto them. But we are also to do especially good one to another, as we are brethren. The first verse of this chapter says brethren. The last verse of this chapter says brethren. We are to do good one to another because we are brethren. Because we have that common enemy and we have that common goal of life eternal. Because we are dead to this world and alive unto Jesus Christ. And so he's saying here, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Going further up this chapter, verses 4 and 5 says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. How much we embrace the cross of Jesus Christ is an individual choice. We can embrace it with all of our heart, or we can lightly embrace it. Or if we've embraced the cross for a long time, we can choose to slowly let go of the cross as well and take a little bit of liberties here. And well, if I have some hatred or anger or envies or drunkenness or a little bit of revelings, it's okay. We have that choice. We have that choice. But we're being encouraged that we would prove our own work, that we could have rejoicing in ourselves alone and not in another man. We're all going to bear our own burden. We're all going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to know whether we have glory, whether we gloried in the cross of Jesus Christ, or if we were kind of caught up a little bit with the fundamentals of the rudiments and ordinances and the things of this world. Jesus Christ is the foundation, and we build upon that foundation, and what we build upon will be what the material that we build upon, the foundation of Jesus Christ, will be proved out. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, every man's work shall be made manifest. Whatever any one of us do, it's all going to be made manifest. It's going to be shown. It's going to be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man shall bear his own burden. And what we have built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ will stand because we were sanctified, because we were obedient, and we embraced the cross of Jesus Christ. And it will stand, our house of faith, or it will burn. It will burn. Truly, more could be said about a chapter such as this. But may we embrace those things which have life everlasting associated with them, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. To be dead unto this world. To know that all the allurements, all their gems, all their things that they place high value on, that means nothing. Because it has no value beyond the grave. None. No value beyond the grave. But those things which matter go beyond the grave. And a new creature in Jesus Christ, embracing the cross of Jesus Christ and living for him, allowing Jesus Christ to be made manifest in our lives, has eternal value and will bring unto us everlasting life. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.